Canada Day Live continues. Jeremy Bradley here at the controls. We're stopping now in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and it's brought to you by CheapskateBook.com. It's not about penny pinching, well, nickel pinching. It's about being smart when you spend, creative ways to save your money, and even make some too, in the official guide to being a Winnipeg cheapskate. Check out the best-selling book with tips and tricks to be a thrifty Canadian at CheapskateBook.com. John McPhee from Paper Lines joining us on the line. The indie band has been rocking since 2004. Happy Canada Day to you, sir.
You as well.
Thank you so much. We'll talk about your music in a second, but let's talk Canada Day in PEI. What goes on there?
Every year in our capital city of Charlottetown, there's a big celebration, really fantastic fireworks, and sort of a fun day, sort of family-driven events happening in the city that that lead into the evening of celebration. Generally great music, as I said, fantastic fireworks, and then usually some Canada Day parties ensue later on.
Now, is it fairly mellow, or does it have that rowdiness like Newfoundland does?
I would say, you know, we're coming in a distant second to Newfoundland in terms of rowdiness. There's generally a party, but maybe a bit more tame.
So what are your plans this year? What are you guys doing?
Well, I have three children, actually, under the age of five, and they're actually terrified of fireworks. And so we actually might go to a little park that is about half an hour from the capital city, but it's on a bay, and it overlooks the capital city. And so we can actually, if we sit there, we'll see the fireworks go off, and then we'll hear the little pop, pop, pop a few seconds later. And that tells me that'll be just enough adventure for this year.
So what is it? It's the sound that they make, or what is it that frightens them?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the fireworks in Charlottetown really are a big show. And mm-hmm. I believe they're the biggest maybe east of Ottawa or perhaps Montreal. But, you know, they're quite large. They really put a lot into them. And but when they, you know, they always do those big volleys towards the end that are really exciting.
Right.
But incredibly thunderous. And so it's, you know, either earmuffs for the children or we'll watch from the park 20 minutes away.
And just wait till they get our age. They're going to be already long in bed before it even gets dark in the summer, like some of us, you know.
There
so.
You go. There you go.
Let's talk about the band, though. How did you guys get together? I know your brother's in it, too.
That's right. My brother, Rob, and we grew up next door to our guitarist, Colin, and all went to high school with our drummer, Dave, who grew up about 20 minutes down the road. So we all grew up in rural Prince Edward Island. And music was always something that you would dabble in. You know, it was either hockey in the winter or music sort of, well, basically a lot of the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there'd be a lot of jamming in basements with different friends. And that was kind of how we grew up. So it seemed pretty natural after high school to continue that to a degree. I had done some traveling, had written some songs, brought them home. And, you know, showed it to my bandmates, and they, you know, they were excited about them, so we kind of fleshed them out, and that was maybe 13 or 14 years ago. Now, a lot has changed since then, of course, but the same four guys, and, you know, as we change together, so all is well.
But you turned it in from a hobby into a business, and this was even before, as you say, 13, 14 years ago, social media and YouTube and all of that. So how did it go from a hobby to a business?
A number of influential factors that kind of allowed us to make that transition, and to some degree we're still making that transition, but as far as the finance side, we had existed as a band, you know, knowing that you know, you tour, you make records, and you collect SOCAN, which are songwriting royalties, and that was sort of the business to us. We weren't really aware of anything beyond that until a friend and former manager, Stephen Carroll, who's a member of the Weaker Bands, we worked with for a couple of years, introduced us to a number of other royalties, music-generated royalties, that existed and that might have some money waiting for us. So that sign-up process and collecting those royalties actually, you know, were part of the main thrust behind allowing us to go from part-time to dedicating more full-time hours and that type of commitment to music, and then, you know, ultimately to developing the business. We started a record label behind that to release the records. So that's sort of the transition from hobby to business.
Let's talk about the family side of things, because sometimes I can barely get through dinner with my siblings. You are in business with yours. And I mean, that could go one of two ways, right? You've grown up together, so you know how each other communicates, or it could be headbutting. What is it typically like for you guys?
Early on, we would fight and argue and that type of thing, but that kind of all stopped maybe 2 or 3 years into the band. And now with my brother, it really feels like, you know, you have an ally, you have someone who's loyal, you have someone who is going to, you know, walk with you through this, in good times and bad. And I mean, I should say the other two bandmates, you know, there's a similarity there. While we're not blood brothers, we, of course, have a connection that goes quite deep, just given the amount of time and experiences that we've shared together. So it really is quite a powerful bond.
And some of the experiences include some high-profile performances, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some pretty interesting performances, experiences. We traveled to Shanghai, China for a couple of weeks to perform at the World Expo, representing Canada, which was just an amazing experience. Another time, we actually were invited to perform for Canadian troops in Alert Nunavut, which is the, let's see if I can get this right, the northernmost settlement on planet Earth. I'm fairly sure that's the case. And so, you know, we flew up in the military plane and had our survival suits on and touched down into 24-hour darkness. And then you spent a week up there playing songs and telling stories. It's a lot of fun. I would go as far as to say is we have traveled and toured more of British Columbia than most people who live in British Columbia. We actually showcased for something called Art Starts, which some listeners from BC might remember. I'm not sure if it's going now, but at the time, this was maybe 8 or 9 years ago, you would go and showcase, and if they liked you, they would invite you to take your show into British Columbia schools. So we were accepted into this and ended up performing at maybe somewhere between 100 and 150 schools all across BC. And that was about a six-month commitment, but it was an amazing experience. British Columbia is an incredible province. You know, it's so diverse geographically. And, you know, from the mountains and the lakes to the desert region and the vineyards, and it's really wonderful. We had an incredible time. Got a little, you know, sort of testy towards the end, in that you're playing at 8 a.m. and not 10 p.m. So, you know, that got a little old after a while. But the experience actually of seeing the province, we would not take back, because, I mean, where else can you get that kind of opportunity?
Well, and so we've got to wrap this up, but the album, latest album, Full Color, right?
That's right.
And where can people get it?
Best place, definitely check it out on iTunes. You can go to paperlions.com, order a physical, or go to your local record store.
Well, John McPhee from Paper Lions, happy Canada Day to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy Canada Day.